Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert. When that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated.' Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If one swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated.' You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it." The Gospel of the Lord. There's so much to be said on the feast day of St. Augustine, but I'd like to give maybe 3 points that we can meditate upon. First is that, as the poet Wordsworth said, no one is an island unto himself. All of us influence other people in good ways or bad. Yesterday would have been the feast day of St. Monica. It was in heaven, St. Monica. And if it were not for the prayers of St. Monica, we would not have St. Augustine. Very, very clear. St. Augustine was brought up and raised by basically a pagan father. And once he hit his teenage years, he basically gave in to his passions, and he became a slave to his passions. But Monica was praying for Augustine day and night, praying, weeping, offering up sacrifice, begging the help of others, consulting priests, consulting bishops, begging that one day that Augustine would be converted. And it's a beautiful conversion story, because not only was Augustine eventually converted, but a whole family was converted. The father of Augustine, his name was Patricius, was a real louse. He was a bum. I mean, he was a real louse. He was violent. He was an alcoholic. And he was a womanizer. I mean, he was a louse. And also, the mother-in-law of Augustine was, as we say in Spanish, una chismosa. She was a gossiper. And Augustine was himself addicted to his sexual passions. And he knew that he had to give it up. And this was his prayer, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. Amen. That was his prayer. He knew that it was wrong. He knew that it was not pleasing to God. He knew that it brought him a lot of sadness and turmoil, but he simply did not want to give it up. But finally, he was converted. A few years ago, we were talking about St. Augustine's conversion at the table. And Father Larry was reading the listening, rather, this course on St. Augustine by an Augustinian professor. And he spoke about the three different stages of the conversion of Augustine. And I like this, because probably most of us say, in our naivety, that we're all converted. Hold your horses. Okay? Are we really converted? Uh-uh. All of us have to go through a conversion on a daily basis. Francis de Sales says, selfishness dies 15 minutes after we're dead. Okay? Francis de Sales. So, you're 15 minutes dead, and that those last ounces of selfishness is petering out. Okay, the three different stages of conversion of Augustine would be, first would be totally legit. Totally legit. What does that mean? He was in the garden. He was in this interior battle. He heard the sing-song voice of this little child that was really an angel. Tolle and legit is Latin for take and read. So there in the garden, there was a New Testament. He opened it up and he read from Romans 13, verse 13. And that was, do not give provisions to the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the final moment of grace that broke down the resistance. He was 31 years old. God had been beating at his heart, battering at his heart, but he was resisting. So he read that, and with his eyes filled with tears, he finally decided that he was going to give up his sinful lifestyle. He goes to his mother, Monica, and says, I'm ready to be baptized. They go to St. Ambrose, who was the Archbishop of Milan, and Augustine was baptized. He was baptized, he made his first communion, and he was confirmed. Okay, that's the first stage of his conversion, totally legit. Okay, the second stage, this is what the professor made this very important point, and I never thought about it before, having read Confessions, but it's this. St. Augustine is going to be ordained a bishop, a priest, and then a bishop. And where is he going to be exercising his episcopacy? In Hippo, which was a diocese in Africa. And here we have one of the greatest intellects in the history of the world. Greatest minds in the history of the world. He's got to preach these people that don't even know how to make the sign of the cross. Here you have the keenest intellect, and he's got to go down to the level of these pre-K, these kindergarten kids that don't even know how to make the sign of the cross. So that's the second level of conversion. is even though he could have flaunted his intelligence because he had it, he was a professional speaker, he taught rhetoric in Rome and Milan, but he, out of love for the souls that were entrusted to him, he was able to get down to their level and speak their language. That's the second. And as St. Paul says, I became all things to all men so as to win at least some to Christ. His willingness to adapt for the salvation of souls. And the third would be this. After Augustine, at the end of his life, and he'd written many, many works, one of the most prolific writers in the history of the world, he went back and he did what is called revisions. He went back and he started to correct some of the things that he had written earlier. So what do we have here? A man with a keen intellect, but humility. Great humility. No one was probably willing to correct his writings except Augustine himself, who saw that there were some inaccuracies, some imperfections, no egregious errors, but some minor imperfections that had to be corrected. And maybe had the insight that people would be reading his writings until the end of time. He's one of the greatest writers in the Catholic Church. So let's pray to St. Augustine that we would be converted. And you might even read some of his writings. Of course, the greatest writing of St. Augustine would be his autobiography called Confessions, which is one of the greatest literary masterpieces in the history of the world. He also wrote another masterpiece called The City of God, which he gives a literary Ignatian two standards between the city of the world and the city of God, at odds with each other. And he also wrote De Trinitate, which is the greatest literary theological masterpiece on the Blessed Trinity. So let's ask St. Augustine, who loved the Blessed Mother too. All the saints have a great love for Mary. St. Augustine had a special devotion to Our Lady of Good Counsel. Our Lady of Good Counsel. So let's turn to this great saint and pray that all of us will be converted. We have to go through a conversion process all the days of our lives. Until we die, there's always going to be something to be converted. And I close with the most famous phrase taken from the Confessions of St. Augustine, which all of you have probably heard many times, but it's good to reflect upon it again. St. Augustine says, O Lord, You have made our hearts for Thee, and our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Amen.